Omar Rabba Barbar Chona, Lididi Chozili Hahu Akrukta. I saw a frog, the Hafi Ki Hakra Dagrunya, that was as large as the city of Hagrunya. Bakra Dagrunya Kamahavi, how big was the city of Hagrunya? Shitin Bati, 60 homes. Also Tanina, a large snake came along, Bolo, and swallowed up this frog. Imagine how big that snake was. Also Pushkansa, a female raven came along. A raven is a black bird, a very mean kind of black bird, and swallowed the snake. Vesalik Yosef Bilana. And then this raven went up and sat on a branch on a tree. Tochazi kama nofish chela dilana. Take a look at how powerful that tree is. If that branch could hold this raven who swallowed the snake, who swallowed the frog, who was as big as 60 homes. Obviously, this is a mashal, and we'll see how Rabbi Nachman explains it. In the Rashbam, because over here in Baba Basra, there's no Rashi. In this part of Baba Basra, Rashi's Pirush finished before. Akrukta Tzvardeya. Ka'akra Dagrunya. Godol hoya ko'isa krach. The frog was as big as that city. Va'akra Dagrunya kamahavi. Shitin bati. Talmuda komerla. The Gemara is filling this in. Rabba didn't say this. Rabba said the frog was like the city of Hagrunya. The Gemara is filling in a piece of information. You should know, by the way, that city was that large. Then the Gemara continues, Oso Tanina, a snake came. Now the Rashbam says, Rabba Komerli. This is Rabba continuing to speak. Now here again, why is it saying that? We're going to see Rabbi Nachman's going to interpret this. Talmuda Komerla, Rabba Komerla. It's going to have tremendous meaningfulness. When you learn this Rashbam at first, you say, like, what's the big deal? You know, why? Of course. Here, Rabba's talking, and here the Gemara, you know, Ma. We'll see. Pushkansa, Oirev, Nekeva, a female Oirev. He's going to touch on a very, very important topic, which has a positive side and a negative side, which is singing, song and music, which is one of the most powerful things in life and in Yiddishkeit. In the Beis Hamikdash, nothing happened without song and music, right? The Karbonos were brought, the Levim sang and played musical instruments, even on Shabbos. Today, if you bring a musical instrument to a yeshiva, you have to be worried they'll throw you out. Not on Shabbos, on Wednesday. Music, what does that have to do with Yiddishkeit? What does that have to do with Torah? The answer is the Torah is music. Zmiro Yisayeli Chukecha, Dovra Mel says. And we know that in the things that make up the Torah, you have letters. You have oisios, you have the tag and the crowns on the letters. That's called the nigla of the Torah. That's the lower level of Torah, the revealed part of Torah that you see in a Sefer Torah. Then you have the hidden part of the Torah, which is the vowels, the nekudos. And higher than that is the tamim, the musical notes, the trup, what we call the trup. That's the highest level in Torah, is the tamim. We've mentioned this in the past, but I think it pays that when Levi was born, his mother said, "Hapam yilove ishi elai." Now, my husband is going to be dovuk to me, deeply attached to me. Why? Rashi says, four mothers, 12 kids, each one had to bring three into the world. When she brought her third child, she filled her quota, so now my husband's going to be happy with me. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, why did she say, "Hapam yilove ishi"? Because the Leviim are misitra deniguna. The Leviim are the ones who sing and play music. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that there's nothing that brings about dveikus, there's nothing that achieves dveikus like negina, like song and music. And we see it. You see it in the world in a positive way, that nigunim can bring people to tremendous dveikus to Hashem and tremendous, a deep connection to Hashem. There are people that are chozer b'tshuva through negina, through songs, the right kind of concert, the right kind of song, the right kind of music. And it can go the other way. We see that Rachmana Litzlan, the generations, the Yerida Sadoiros, in the past 50 years, just during my lifetime, watching the generations go down, 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 as they introduce secular music, and as it becomes worse and worse, you know, you see the effect it has on the generation, on people that listen to that music. So here he begins with this. He begins with, Hine mi sheshemea negino mi menagen rosho, a person who hears singing or music from a menagen who's a rosha, and we'll see soon what that means. Kosheloi l'avoidas aboirei. It'll be harmful to the person's avoidas Hashem. Ukeshishemea mi menagen kosher v'hogun, And when a person hears negina from a kosher, righteous menagen, azai toivoy, then it's good for him. Now, in the Kitzur Likutei Moharan, if I would have thought of it, I would have brought it up, but I think I remember it pretty accurately. He adds here a definition that menagen rosho could mean a person who doesn't believe in Hashem at all, a person who's not singing, and here's the point. Remember, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The final Mishnah in Pirkei Avos defines the purpose of the Bria. Why did Hashem create not just the world, but all of the worlds? The Mishnah says, "Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu ba'olamoi loy broi elo lechvoidoi." Everything that Hashem created, He created for His kavod. That's what everything is all about, lechvoidoi. And the Gemara says, as it says in the pasuk, "Kol anikro bishmi velechvoidi berosiv yitzartiv afasisiv." That not just this world, not just the olam ha'asiya that we are in, but the olam ha'yetzira, the olam ha'briya, all of the worlds were created lichvoidi. It's all about Hashem's kavod. So if a person is singing for Hashem's kavod, that's called negina digdusha. If a person is singing for any other reason, even if we're talking about a frum person who's singing, but he's singing for personal kavod, he's singing for personal glory, he's singing for money, it's not the same. It's not the same anymore. It can't have the same positive effects as a person who's really singing for Hashem's kavod, where his interest in singing is either to praise Hashem, to glorify Hashem, or to bring people close to Hashem. That's his goal. If that's his goal, it's Negina Digdusha. If it's anything else, it's not Negina Digdusha. And again, there are different levels, all kinds of different levels. Kemoishen is boer, as we're about to explain. Kihine. Now he's in this Torah, he touches a little bit on things that are brought in Kabbalah. He's not teaching us Kabbalah. He's quoting the Zohar Kodesh, he's quoting the Arizal, which show where does Negina come from. He's going to bring sources from the Gemara and Medrash also, but he's also going to touch on some things that come from there. We're not going to go into it heavily because it's not necessary right now. We'll touch the, you'll hear it, we'll touch the points, but you'll see things will be clear. Kihine koil hanegino nimsheches min hatziporim. Song, negina, comes from birds. Kide isa bemedrash, as it says in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Metzora, mipnei ma metzora tohorosoi tluya b'shtei tziporim chayos tohoros. The Medrash asks, why is it that a Metzora, in order for him to purify himself, he's got to bring a korban of two kosher birds? So the Medrash says, Yovoi klanya v'yechaper al klanya. Let one chatterbox come and be mechaper on another chatterbox. The word Metzora, it's brought, is moitzi ra. A person who spoke Lashon Hara. A person speaks Lashon Hara, those kind of things. The punishment is tzoras, Rachmana Litzlan. So because this person was a chatterbox, he spoke what he shouldn't have spoken, his kapara comes through birds who are known as chirpers. That's what they do. Ki nilka machmas koiloi. The Metzora got this punishment because of his koil, shediber loshen hara. Okay, so his kapara is through birds, which represent koil, negina. Nimtza, we conclude therefore, Mishehu kosher nimsheches hanegina shloi menashtei tziporam chayos tohoros. A person who's frum, again, he's singing for the right reasons, and he's singing the right kind of songs and everything, he draws his negina from the two kosher birds. The kosov bezoyer HaKodesh, it says in the Zohar HaKodesh Parshas Vayikra, shashtei tziporim hanal yoinkim meyasar denevim yankim. That there are two birds, this is talking in Ruchni's terms now, there are birds that draw their koyach from the same place that the Nevi'im draw their koyach. Where did the Nevi'im, where did Moshe Rabbeinu draw his Nevuah from? Where did Moshe Rabbeinu receive his Nevuah from? When Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, he spoke to him from the... Anan, Sneh, anybody else? I'm sorry? The throat? I'm sorry? Where in the oil moyet? Getting more serious. Mibein shnei hakruvin. It's a pasuk. Shomea HaKoel Midaber Mibein. All of you are right. He did speak to him at the Snedit, but the standard, the most official place that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu was from the Oil Moed, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. The first letters of Mibein Shnei HaKruvim spell the word Moshe. Showing, that's not Moshe, this is written Sforim, that this was where he was Mekabel his Nevuah from. And Nevuah comes from there. Now the Kruvim resembled two different things. The Kruvim were shaped like birds. They were birds with wings, these huge wingspans. And also they had baby faces. The word Kruv in Aramaic, Keravia, like a small child. In Aramaic, the word Ravia means a small child. The cherub means like a childlike face, right?
There's another interpretation whether there's a husband and a wife, or man and woman as well.
Possible. But they had these baby faces, and it looked the appearance of birds. Now, very light. When we speak about the midos of Hashem, they're divided into different categories, different levels. We know there's the term avos. Everybody knows the avos hakdoshim. Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, they represent, they correspond to the midos of Hashem of Chesed, Gvura, and Teferes. Avram Avinu is called Isha Chesed, Yitzchok Avinu is called Pachad Yitzchok, and Yaakov Avinu is a combination of both. He's called Teferes, the Bechir Shebovois. If Chesed, Gvura, Teferes are called Ovois, then Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid are called Bonim. This is the terminology that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh. And Chachma and Bina are called Sovin, they're called grandparents. And the Keser is called Sovin the Sovin, great grandparents. This is referring to different madregas, different levels of Chesed. It's all about different levels of Chesed. There's Bonim, which is one level, then there's parents, which is a higher level, then there's grandparents, which are a higher level of Rachmonis. And then there's great, that term, this is the terminology that's used. So if we say here that the Kruvim had these childlike faces, they represent the Sphirois of Netzach and Hoid, as we're going to see. He's going to touch on that later. That's where Nevi'im draw their Nevuah from. Nevuah comes from these Midois that are called Netzach and Hoid, which in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was represented by these Kruvim on top of the Oron. Continuing. Ukisham. Exactly. Lekach nikro hamenagein chazen. This is one of the reasons why a singer is called a chazen. Miloshen chazoin. Because in Loshen Kodesh in Hebrew, the word chazoin means nevuah, prophecy. Chazoin Yeshayo ben Amoitz. Chazoin, some of the Navim start off like that. So we see the similarity between a Navi and a Negina. They both come from the same place. The Nevi'im receive their Nevuah from these Midos of Netzach and Hoyt and the Kruvim, and the Koyach HaNegina comes from the same place. And the truth is that a Nigin is a form of Nevuah. It's a Ruach HaKodesh. So that Hashem shines a person, these people are able to compose Nigunim. You know, it's an incredible gift. Not everybody can do that. And again, when it's the right kind of Nigun, it's a divine inspiration. It's a Matana from Hashem. Miloshen chazoin, haynu losh nevuah, ki loikeya chanegina measar de neviim yankin. Because when a person receives negina, he gets it from the same source that the neviim draw their nevuah. Ukeshehamenagin hu rosho, azai hu loikeya chanegina shloi mitziporim acheroi shebeklipa. When the singer is a rosho, he draws his negina also from birds. But from treif birds, from a source of tziporim, of klip. We know there are kosher birds and treif. There are kosher and treif of every species. He's drawing his negina from the other side, from the sitrachra, from tumah, from klipa. The kosu bezoyar, and it says in the Zohar HaKadosh, ki hatziporim shebeklipa yoinkim midadei hamalchus. The Zohar HaKadosh says that these birds of tumah, of klipa, they draw their koyach from the dadim of Malchus. So remember, we spoke about Netzach and Hoid. We spoke about these different midos. Malchus is below Netzach and Hoid. And again, the Zohar Kodesh uses terminology that sounds physical. A right hand, the right hand is Chesed, the left hand. We know by Hashem there's nothing physical at all whatsoever. Chas v'shalom. So this is just terminology that we're using in order for us to be able to have something to picture it by, like to picture it like, but not to think chas v'shalom that there's anything physical whatsoever. So here he says that these tziporim of tuma, they draw from the dade hamalchus, and we're going to see later in the Torah, he's going to clarify all of this. He's going to show how this relates to Dovr HaMelech and all kinds of things. The kad ispeliglelia, and at midnight when it's chatzos, when it's midnight, kedain kruza kriz, an announcement goes out in Shamayim that says kitziporim ho achuza is bepach, just like birds that are trapped, that are caught in a trap, kohen yoikshim bnei yodam. So too people sometimes are ensnared in a trap. They get trapped by the Yetzirah, by the Satan, that kind of thing. Okay. This is the introduction. Now he told us that there's two kinds of Nagina. There's Nagina that comes from a good place, from a bad place. And he said the Nagina comes from a good place, it can benefit, to help the person's Avodas Hashem. And when the Nagina comes from a bad place, it can harm the person's Avodas Hashem. People sometimes think, you know, you're not allowed to eat treif, you're not allowed to go into Reb. But there are people that don't know that listening to music that's coming from a bad place, we know that the head has seven windows. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mashgiach Menachaloinois, Meitzitz Menacharakim. The Kaviyochel Hashem communicates with us and he speaks to us. The Neshama experiences through the seven windows, which are the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth. And whatever a person takes in and gives out affects the person's neshama. If a person speaks, dibur, or a person eats, affects neshama. A person smells, because smells something treif, it can affect the person. It's brought that the Arizal speaks about this, a person should be careful. They walk by a non-kosher restaurant to be careful not to inhale, not to smell, because again, this is affecting the neshama. These senses are connected to the brain, the neshama. So here, excuse me? We said before, Music that's not for the purpose of Hashem's kavod.
What about instrumental music?
There also, it depends what type. There's music, there's blues, there's different, there's music that can bring a person down, there's music that can cheer a person up, there's music that makes a person wild. Here again, all of these, and there's music that gives a person simcha, that brings a person to a good feeling, depending on where it's coming from and depending on how it affects the person. That's the thing.
Some Jewish music, which makes people very wild.
Definitely. And that's why I mentioned it. The person has to ask themselves this question. Is this coming from a place of Kvod Shamayim, making people feel closer to Hashem, you know, and more religious, or Chas Shom, the opposite?
The music of the Chasana.
Yeah.
It
depends which Chasana. Depends which chasana. Here again, very often, you see, here in Eretz Yisrael, you don't see, or in Yerushalayim, you don't see it as much. In Yerushalayim, in the Ashkenaz from world, there is no music. There's just a drummer and a singer. And usually, they are Haredi or Haredi-type people. Although, even there, you don't judge any book by its cover. You know, everything is, you have to see who the person is and what type of music that, you know, what type of song they're singing, what type of music they're playing.
Makes sense. Even the singer?
Yes.
Is he singing certain?
100%. He's using the word Menagein Rosho or Menagein Ish Kosher V'Hovon. No question about it. If he's a Yerei Shamayim, and again, if his intention is, and again, I'll mention one or two, an example of, what's his name? The Breslov, the one from Beit Shemesh. Yosef Kaduna. Yosef Kaduna is a person who's known. I don't think there's anybody that would hear this person singing or playing music that would say that it's anything other than Yirat Shamayim and something that makes a person feel connected to Hashem, connected to Yiddishkeit, you know, that kind of thing. And with the others, each one you have to look at honestly and see what it is, see what it's about.
That's the first thing you meant to do when you got to Chasna?
Excuse me?
That's the first thing you meant to do when you got to Chasna? Check out what it
He's saying it, Sake, in Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal writes, and this is why one of the very important components of a wedding is the music. Because again, if the Zohar HaKadosh says this is what brings Dveikus, this is Hapam Yilove Ishelai, that's one of the things that's going to define the bond between the Chasan and Kala. The music at the wedding. Exactly. I'm quoting from Likutei Halachos, Evan Ezra.
Okay.
He says, "Vezeh bechinas the this is why there's a custom of music, and it's so choshuv an item."
But even if it's not coming from the highest place, you can, as the listener, by attaching yourself to Hashem, do your.
To a degree, we're going to come to that right now. Right now, he's about to address this issue. What about when I'm in a situation where I can't control it? I hear this. Is there any tikkun for it? And again, if a person heard this before in his life, before he knew this, he's going to address this right now. But what you're saying definitely is true. That again, it has a lot of bearing on me. People can interpret it different ways and apply it different ways. One person will use that music as an excuse to start drinking at the wedding and get drunk. You know? Another person hears it and uses it to cheer himself up a little bit, but he understands that there's a difference, that it's not the same, that there's disco music and there's non-disco, there's all kinds of different styles, and you know, and I know that it's something to deal with carefully, just like food. I have to look at, does it have a hechsher, does it not, which hechsher? When it comes to music, I have to look at it to see, is it kosher, is it glatt, is it medium, is it mix, is it a combination, or parv?
Exactly. So that's one of those things, so you make sure if you're... Now we just make sure the flowers and the
halls
nice.
Oh, oh. I'm telling you, Mikutei Lachas, he doesn't talk about the flowers, but he does talk about the music, saying that this is a very important component at a wedding. And you could understand. People that attend weddings, there's a difference. This is one kind, this is another kind.
Make sure they're really your shaman.
Of course, of course. If at all possible.
Not just the person making the wedding.
Exactly.
One of the guests.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, doesn't usually the guests come to be to do
yes, yes.
So if the music is not good, he shouldn't come?
He should be aware of it.
Right.
Again, he should be aware of it. It's like a person who's smelling something that's...
Where can we find it?
Evan Ezer. Towards the beginning of Evan Ezer. I'll be able to... it's not hard to find. The first halachas of Evan Ezer, he talks a lot about this topic. Okay. Vatikunhu sheyucha lishmoya negina mikol adam. Vatikun, something that a person can do that can protect him, that to be able to hear singing from any person and it shouldn't harm him. And again, the Mefarshim point out he's not giving a heter here. He's not saying, oh, if you do this, now you can go wherever you want and hear any. He's saying if a person finds themselves in a in situations where they can't always control it, and they hear Nagina sometimes from not such good places. What do you do? The tikkun is by learning Gemara at night, specifically. Torah Shebal Peh, and then he says, Hainu Gemara. He's referring to Gemara. Shehi Bechinas Laila. Gemara, which is associated with night. Kedisa b'medrash, as it says in the Medrash Rabba, Kishahoyo Moshe Bahar, Arboim Yoim V'Arboim Laila, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim after Matan Torah to receive the Torah, the Torah Shabbat for 40 days, Loihoyo Yodea, Mosai Yoim, Mosai Laila. There were no clocks there. There were no phones that have clocks on them. So what? How was he able to tell when it's day or night? Rak Ali Dezer, Kishahoyo Moshe Torah Shabbat, Hoyodea Shu Yoim, when Hashem was teaching him Torah Shebichsav, he knew it was day. When Hashem was teaching him Torah Shebal Peh, he knew it was night. Nemtza, she Torah Shebal Peh, he bechinas Laila. So we see that Torah Shebal Peh is associated with Laila. This is one proof. And now he brings another proof. Ukamayshom Razala, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, there's a pasuk in Echo where it says, Bamachashakim hoishivani. When I was in darkness, you Hashem restored me. The Gemara says, Zeh Talmud Bavli. This refers to Talmud Bavli, that even when the Yidden were in Golis, they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gave us Talmud Bavli. Again, referred to as Bamachshakim, Choshech. Uchsiv, there's a pasuk that says, V'lachoshech korolayla. So Bamachshakim, again, Machshakim is Choshech. We see the Torah says Choshech is Laila. Okay. Hainu. Al yedei sheyilmoid shas, by a person learning shas. Shas is abbreviation shisha sedorim, the six sedorim. Yisaken hashis is koen shebekonem. That serves as a tikkun for the six rings of cartilage in the windpipe. If you study biology, you know that the windpipe has these rings of cartilage around it, that, and the six of them. And the limud of Torah Shebal Peh, especially at night, is mesakein these six iskon shebekona, shemehem yoitze hakoil, from which the coil comes out. The coil comes out from the larynx, the voice box, and it goes through the windpipe. Vezehu, and with this we could understand the pasuk in Eicha, which says, kumi roini balayla. The regular taich of that pasuk is, get up and sing at night. But Rabbi Nachman teaches it, kumi roini is song, kumi, if you want to be makim, if you want to be elevate the roini, you want to elevate the song, balayla, through the limud of Torah Shebal Peh. Hainu shetihye tekuma laharina. You want that there should be an elevation to the song. Hainu alidei halayla. The way you accomplish that is through layla. Shehi gemara. Shas. Now, before we continue for a moment, the term layla, when it's used in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus, usually refers to the second half of the night. Because we know that in the Torah, it uses the term Laila sometimes, and sometimes it uses the term Leil. Leil Shimurim, there's Leil and Laila. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Leil usually refers to the first half of the night, and Laila is the second half of the night. Usually we're told that the first half of the night is a time of danger, a time when the Sitrachra has Koyach, and the most preferred thing a person should be doing during that time of night is sleeping. For that first part of the night, to stay out of trouble, because that's a time when the forces of Tumah are powerful and prevalent. From midnight on, from Chatzos till morning, that second part of the night, that's, and again, the first part of the night represents Midas Hadin, Din, darkness is judgment. The second part of the night is already going towards morning, is going towards Chesed. From midnight on, is already going in the direction of Chesed. So again, the standard, the default, the norm that he's referring to here in Likutim Rama the Sforum is that. And there's maybe 30, 40 pages about this in Likutim Ram, and maybe 300 pages in Likut Halachos about explaining the whole concept of night and the first half of the night and the second half of the night. In the Zohar HaKadosh, there's about 100 pages on this topic, on night, explaining what goes on at night in Shemayim, what goes on at night on earth. There are many, all the Hasidic Sforim write about this. The majority of opinions, there are many tzaddikim, Hasidic Gedolim, besides Breslov, that write about chatzos, that write about getting up at midnight, and write about the importance of learning and davening from midnight to morning. And they emphasize that, again, the preferred thing would be if a person could go to sleep after Maariv, you know, and sleep those earlier hours of the night, and get up at midnight and spend those hours of the second half of the night learning. There's a lot written about it. There are a few Rabbonim who have written that this only applied generations ago, in our generation it's different, etc., etc. And there are Sfarim that write very strongly against that Ezemin Davar, you know, Vusep is over here, you're saying that this has changed, that maybe the laws of Kashrus changed also, and other things. There's a lot written about on this topic. And again, if anybody wants more, they've recently come out, they have it in the Breslov store, with Tikkun Chatzos, with all kinds of introductions, quoting sources from the Zohar HaKadosh, from the Arizal, from other Gedolim, major Gedolim, that write about this topic, explaining, you know, the whole topic of night, the first half versus the second half, etc. But for now, I'm just making note of that. Here again, in the Seder HaYeshiva, in the Olam HaYeshivos, for the past 150 years, this has changed. You know, it's changed a lot, where again, most people never heard of this. They never heard of Chatzos, and they never heard of getting up, or just about. And maybe they saw it in Shulchan Aruch, and they went right past it. It is on page 1 in Shulchan Aruch. It does say, Ayurei Shamayim. When it speaks about getting up in the morning, it says, Ayurei Shamayim. We'll try to get up in the middle of the night to say the Tefillahs for the Churban Beis Hamikdash, etc., etc., you know. And the Gemara mentions it about David HaMelech, others. But for a variety of reasons, in the world, number one, the catastrophe of electricity. Thomas Edison did us this incredible favor. He gave us lights. So now people don't have to. In the olden days, it got dark. You went to sleep. It was normal. What's the big? You know, I remember. I'm not 100 years old. I remember when I came to Eretz Yisrael 45 years ago in Yerushalayim, at 7-8 o'clock at night, there was no such thing as any stores open. You know, if you wanted to get milk or anything, you made sure to get it before 7 or 8 p.m. After that, the stores were closed. The streets were quiet. People were going to sleep. Not everybody was getting up at midnight, you know. But I'm saying that was the norm. Over the past 45 years, things have changed so dramatically, even in Yerushalayim, even in Meir Shearim, even in, you know, in Beis Yisrael, where suddenly there's action at night, and all of us know that some of that action is not healthy. You know, unfortunately, many people that have yiridos and nefilos in Yiddishkeit, it's because of that. It's those hours. It's those hours. Nighttime, which is a time of sakana. You know, it's darkness, et cetera, et cetera.
Why isn't the best way to tackle the tumah by instead of sleeping those hours?
Because just like in last week's part, when Hashem told Yidden by Makas Bechira, stay inside. There are certain times where the sakana is so strong that even a Yid and even a Frum Yid has to stay, get out of the way. That's the
stay
kind
inside
of.
Alone.
I'm sorry?
Stay inside alone.
That's your suggestion? I'm telling you, the wording in the Zohar Kodesh, in these Sforim, is that if a person could, that's the time to be sleeping. Because here again, the forces of Tumah are so powerful that they can have an achiz on the person's learning, even during the first half of the night, much more than during the second half of the night.
Like
Nittle, exactly, that concept. I'm saying the concept comes up in different places. Again, to be aware of it. Right now, I'm putting something on the table for people to be aware that there are these different issues.
How is this practice practically?
Oh,
the answer. Exactly.
The answer, first of all, while we're on the topic, there are different definitions of how you define midnight. There are different opinions on that. According to the Zohar HaKodesh and the Arizal and the Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch and other Sforim, the way you calculate Chatzos is 6 hours after Tzeis HaKoychovim. Winter, summer, it doesn't matter. Let's say now Shki is about 5:05, 5:10. Tzeis HaKoychovim in Eretz Yisrael, according to most opinions, is 20 minutes after Shkia. It's already dark. In America, it's 50 minutes or 72. You know, people have different shitas because the process from when it starts getting dark till it gets real dark takes much longer. In America, in Chutz Loretz, in places like Eretz Yisrael, it happens much quicker. So here, the way we would calculate, according to the shita I just mentioned, would be 6 hours and 20 minutes after Shkia. Shki is 5:10, you have 20 minutes, it becomes 5:30. 6 hours later, 11:30 is Chatzos. Excuse me? No, not Shos Manius. On the clock, 60 minutes, physically. That's the way it's defined in the Zohar Kodesh, in Parshas Vayakel. So now, and it continues for a period of 2 hours. There's a 2 hour window that's called Chatzos, which is called a very powerful Eis Ratzon. It's a tremendous Eis Ratzon. When Shemaim is open, it's the Zohar Kodesh, Chaveir Makshir, Hashem visits the Tzadikim in Gan Eden. There's a lot written about what goes on during that time, that's a super, super Eis Ratzon. 2 hours, 120 minutes from there. Now, there are certain times in the year, like let's say during not here, but in America. Here, I don't know if it happens. But in America, let's say, in the summertime, when it doesn't get dark, Tzeis HaKoychovim could be 9:15, 9:30. And this extends up to Alois HaShachar. Because 2 hours is what's called Chatzos. But a person would be allowed to say those tefillos of Chatzos b'di'evad until Alois HaShachar. In America, let's say in the middle of the summer, there might be 10 minutes of Chatzos. Because by the time you calculate the 6 hours and 50 minutes, or 60 minutes in America, which it is, after Shkia, it's already Alois HaShachar. So that's why there are times in places like Russia, there's a period of time during the summer where there is no Chatzos. In other words, if you calculate the time, 6 hours from Tzeis HaKoychovim, it's already Alois HaShachar. So they don't. And the Zohar HaKodesh writes about this. Mishich v'yad kumi, that from Shavuos till, you know, that there's a time when you don't have this. a person who's in yeshiva, my personal advice would be to follow the yeshiva storim, to follow the yeshiva seder completely. If and when a person ever has an opportunity, the Balatanya writes about this in his Shulchan Aruch Harav, he writes about this, and he writes to his Hasidim that this is a very important avoida, getting up chatzos and everything. And he writes, if a person can do it every night, it's great. If a person can do it once a week, it's good. If a person can do it once a month, each person according to what they can. If a person knows about such a thing, then when there's an opportunity to do it, to cash in on it. That's the practical application for people in that matzah.
When is it these days?
I said it's about 11:30 p.m.
Until 1:30.
I'm set for 2 hours, exactly. Now, the there is tremendous emphasis put on going to sleep and waking up at Chatzos. That a major part of this is called breaking the night. La Chatzos means to cut or to break. The breaking the night, because again, night represents tumah, night represents midas hadin, darkness. That a person goes to sleep and is able to get himself to wake up in the middle of the night, he's breaking the night, he's breaking the darkness, he's breaking the forces of tumah, that kind of thing. That's also good. Now here again, people have different circumstances. There are people who can't do that, or certainly can't. If a person finds that they're up and it's 11:30 at night, instead of going to buy a falafel and instead of going to schmooze, to say, wow, this is the time, this is that time. I happen to be up now, I have a chance to say this tefillah, Alma Reisbogel, to participate, to join in being mesabel over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says, Kol ha-mesabel al Yerushalayim zoyche v'roye b'simchasa. That if a person ignores the Churban Beis Hamikdash, they ignore this, chas v'sham, they won't be part of the simcha either. So it's something to be aware of, to know about it. And if and when a person has the opportunity to do it, it's special. And to know that there are people today that are doing this. There are hundreds of people that are shattered, people, a lot of the mikubalim, a lot of this among the Sfardim in Eretz Yisrael. Many of them know about this. And among Hasidim, among Breslov, it's picked up speed tremendously. Where again, even young married guys, there's a Koil Chatzos in Beitar that started a few years ago that has, I think, 150 people learning the second half of the night, that kind of thing, and other places also. You want to say something?
Yeah. Can you explain the difference between Tikkun Rachel and Tikkun Leah? Because I heard that sometimes, like during the Shemitah year, only one part
I'll touch on it because I want to get back to earth. I want to get back to our topic. As part of the tefillos of Tikkun Chatzos and those Sfarim that have it, there's two sections. There's a section that's called Tikkun Rochel. There's a section that's called Tikkun Leah. Tikkun Leah is shorter, much shorter, and it consists mostly of Tehillim, of a lot of kapitlach of Tehillim, a little bit of tefillah, and a little bit of Mishnayis at the end. Tikkun Rochel has a lot of parts in it from Eicha that are actual kinnis in that, and therefore Tikkun Rochel is not said on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, on Rosh Chodesh, on those days that we don't say Tachnun, you don't say Tikkun Rochel. And even in Tikkun Leah, we leave out the capital Yan Hashem Bioin Tzora, we don't say that. And another capital, Bavoyel of Nosna Novi, you'll see it, the Sforim have it marked off. That's the reason, because these are Yom Tov, etc. There are those that are of the opinion that in a Shemitah year, which is not now, but in 2-3 years, we're going to have Shemitah again. There are some people that do not say Tikkun Chatzos at all during the Shemitah year. They still get up, they'll use the time to learn and say other tefillahs. That's another thing. There are some people that say that applies only in Eretz Yisrael. There are different opinions among the Mekubalim, among the Tzadikim that write about this. There are different opinions. Back to earth, with the clarinets and the guitars. We know that when it comes to learning Gemara, Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara speaks about two kinds of learning. There's learning Torah Lishma, and there's Loy Lishma. And within Loy Lishma, there are two categories, right? What are the two categories of Loy Lishma? Because this comes up in maybe 4 or 5 places in Shas. That the Gemara makes a statement. In some places, the Gemara says that even if a person's learning loy lishma, it's good because mitoich sheloy lishma bo lishma. Right? You've heard of that. And in other places, it says that a person who learns Torah sheloy lishma, better that he wasn't born. Better that he was, mamash, he shouldn't have been born. So Tosfos, in all the places where this comes up in Gemara, Tosfos, there's a Tosfos there that asks the same question, what's going on here? In some places you say, and Tosfos answers, there's two kinds of loy lishma. There's a person who's learning loy lishma, which is lekanter. There are people who are learning Gemara to be able to show that they're smarter than the Gemara, to disprove the Gemara, to show Bible critics and all kinds of different levels or different types of that. That kind of learning is mamish better that he wasn't born, and that's, you know, super klola. There's a person who learns Amanas Shiskori Rebbe. He's learning for Kovoid. He starts out learning that way. He has an ulterior motive. He wants people to respect him. He's doing it for money. He wants to get a position, you know, that either money or Kovoid. There it says that he should learn, he should start like that, and mitoich shaloi lishma bo lishma. From shaloi lishma, if he'll do it, you know, for a while, it'll lead him, he'll taste the Torah, if he'll learn properly, and it'll turn him into lishma. He'll realize that the money is a joke. We'll end with this for now. There's a story in the Zohar Kodesh that Rabbi Abba once went out into the street, and he said, who wants to get rich? Come with me. So a bocher came over to him and said, me, I want to get rich. He said, good, come with me. Took him into the Beis Medrash. He said, sit down and learn. And the bocher saw that this was Rabbi Abba. He saw that this is somebody important. So he figured there's something to it. So he was there for a couple of weeks. And then he decided to go ask the Rav, you know, that did you forget what you told me, you know, that I was going to get rich? So he went over to him and he said, you remember what you told me when I first came here? That he said, definitely, of course, continue. I didn't forget at all. He learned for another few weeks, and he started experiencing the sweetness of Torah. And he started realizing that rich is a joke. That's an insult. You know, to compare the Torah to money is mamisha an insult. It's a joke. So he went over to Rabbi Abba, like with tears in his eyes, like to say, I feel so embarrassed and so ashamed. I came here looking for money, and I see that this is so much bigger. And, you know, Rabbi Abba told him, you're right, continue. He learned further, and then it says a man came in, a very, very wealthy guy, who had 13 goblets of poz. The Gemara says there's different levels of gold. The rarest kind of gold is called poz. This person had 13 goblets. He went to Rabbi Abba and he said, I have a daughter who's the finest, the best, and girls have to get married. Everybody knows that. I want to marry her off. Who do you have? Do you have a real Talmud for me? He said, of course. He said, that's your man. And he pointed to this Talmud. His name was Yossi. And the Gemara says from that time on, he was called Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi, who appears many times in the Gemara. That again, he first came looking for, he didn't know. He didn't know. He was coming. Somebody said, you want to get rich? Here's you don't have to go to Alaska to get rich to find gold. You have gold right here.
But,
exactly. Exactly. He started learning and he got the taste of it and he realized that this is so much bigger and so much better than Gashmias, you know, it doesn't compare to it at all. So here he tells us that when a person learns Shalai Lishma, Hainu Bishvil Sheyeskare Rebbe, we're talking about type 2 Shalai Lishma, not Lakanter, where he's learning for Kovoid, personal Kovoid, Halimud Einoi Bachashivus Kolkach. He doesn't say it's junk, he doesn't say it's trey, he said it's not as Choshuv as a person who's learning Lishma. But if a person is learning at night, the Gemara says, there's a special light of chesed that Hashem shines on the person. It protects him that machshava of loy lishma won't harm him, that his learning will be intact, and it'll have the positive effects to be a shmira from being harmed from any wrong negina. This is introduction. We'll continue. Excuse me? Doesn't say, but I haven't seen a timer on it. Those that have to bench, don't forget.